out of them, or took Reb Meir's opinion and phrased it and edited it, but he did not need to attribute it to Rabbi Meir. Now, in the fact that Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, we have another example of the anonymity, the veil of anonymity that the rabbis dropped over Rabbi Meir for reasons that I discussed with you in our last lecture. Rabbi Meir was the greatest man of the generation, yet somehow there is a veil of anonymity that the rabbis purposely placed upon him. So instead of saying Rabbi Meir Omer, they just quoted it without any name, knowing on the basis of the rule that we have that if you see a Mishnah without any author, the author is Rabbi Meir. One other thing need be said, I mean, there are many things that need be said about Rabbi Meir, but one other point that should be made. Rabbi Meir is called in the language of the Talmud, Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes. Rabbi Meir, the Bal Hanes really means the man that owns, that controls miracles. And the reason for that is the story that is told to us in the Talmud, one of the most fascinating stories in the Talmud, that after the destruction of Beitar and the terrible decrees of Hadrian, the 10 great men of Israel were executed, and one of them was Rabbi Hananya ben Trajon, who was Rabbi Meir's father-in-law, Bruria's father. And he was wrapped in a Sefer Torah, the Talmud tells us, and burned alive with the Sefer Torah. As part of the punishment, as part of the attempt to destroy the scholars of Israel and their families, the Romans took the daughter of Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan, who was the sister of Bruria, meaning Rabbi Meir's sister-in-law, and they took her and they impressed her into service in a house of ill repute. Now, Rabbi Meir, at the urging of his wife, went to redeem her, to see what he could do to save her. And he discovered where the Romans had placed her, and he disguised himself as a patron. And he asked specifically for her. And she did not recognize him. And when they came to the room or the cubicle, so she made all sorts of excuses why she would be unable to accommodate him. And she fended him off in every way possible. So Rabbi Meir saw that spiritually she had not been compromised. And he revealed himself to her. And he told her, I'll get you out. Now, as I discussed with you last week, we see that trait in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was not fazed by things. As he told if he could tell his Rebbe, Rabbi Elusha ben Abuya, that I'll get you out of hell into heaven. So he had that trait that he was going to take care of it. So he went and he got a hold of the keeper of the house, a Roman who was appointed, and he bribed him. He told him that he would pay him a great deal of money and that he should release this girl in his custody, without telling him the entire story, but yeah. In the strange morality of immorality, so the keeper of the house told him that he would be happy to sell him the girl, but he said the Romans keep count, and when the day will come that they'll check, so she'll be missing, and then they'll kill him. So it's not worth the money. The keeper of the house had two very large dogs, ferocious dogs. Ferocious dogs don't like Jews.